Open your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. I've been working through that. Where I ended last time that I was before you guys was with Ephesians 5:21. And Mr. Wilson's been working on Wednesday night with marriage and family, so I've been able to hop, skip, and a jump over a big chunk of scripture here that's somewhat controversial. And you know me, I just hate controversy. So I'm going to jump over the top of a big section, which he's working on Wednesday nights, marriage and family, which is the relationships that are spoken of there in verse 22 of Ephesians 5 down through really verse 4 of chapter 6. I'm going to pick it up. We're going to look at verses 5 basically through 8. 9 could be thrown in there, but we're going to look at 5 through 8 tonight. So if you would turn there, if you're not there, Ephesians 6, let's read verses 5 through 8 together. It says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. That's literally the word kurios, or kurion, means lords. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And let's go to our Lord in prayer. Great God, we thank you again for your preserved word. We know that if we receive that word implanted, if we put it into practice, Lord, it's able to save our souls. Grateful again that one of the greatest miracles you have ever performed is the preservation of your word to bring it down through the centuries, where no matter how and rebellious mankind may have tried to change or mess with this, Lord, you've ensured that it's come to us in its pure state, that it's unaltered, it's true. Father, it is infallible. We are grateful for that. Pray tonight that as we continue to equip the saints, as I get that opportunity, Lord, that in it, that will occur. They will be equipped, they will be encouraged, built up. And if, Father, in it, I know you will surely be glorified. Pray that you'll help me to communicate in a manner that will accomplish that purpose to your glory. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so relationships. That's what we're in Ephesians. And like I said, I jumped over a big chunk of the subject matter there with husbands, wives, children, all that. We move now down to a relationship that has to do with slaves and masters. Some would say employer, employee. Well, you know, this was real in Bible times, that, you know, in New Testament first century church time, slavery was a real deal. Okay? It's estimated, we don't really know. They say there could have been up to 60-65% of the population of the Roman Empire that could have been slaves. Do I know that for certain? I don't know. I know there were a lot in one form or another. So, you know, slaves, and that is a topic, Americans, I'm going to speak to you as Americans now, that is coming quickly to a neighborhood near you. If you don't understand it yet, you are an economic slave. So, we are still slaves. And we need to understand that this topic still relates to us. Now, should we praise God we live in America where there are still freedoms? Yes. Should we be grateful for Him? Absolutely, we should be. But we need to understand we are in service to somebody. And if you don't believe so, well, then just come next April 15th, make a call to the local IRS and just tell them, oh, by the way, I'm not going to pay you this year. And find out if you're a slave or not. That's one of the courts in America where you go, you are guilty until proven innocent. That's how they operate. Oh, I thought it didn't work that way in America. Wake up, slave. Wake up. Okay, so this is about slaves and their masters. So we're going to talk about it on a personal level, not you and a government, okay? We're going to talk about, in a personal level, slaves and their masters. And we all, if we work for an employer, we have a master. If you are self-employed, you have a master. He, she is called the customer. You are a slave to that customer. So this is real to all of us, isn't it? So now here's an issue, slavery, that the honest person is going to say, now you serve the all-powerful God. Yes, I do. Then answer me this question, why is there slavery? Is that a legitimate question? Why is there slavery? Well, let's backtrack a little bit. And what was the problem, really, when it came down to the total acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah in His day? Did He do good things for people? Sure did. Healed, provided things, very compassionate. I mean, wonderful man. Great teacher, spoke with authority. He had one problem. The Jews thought He was coming to liberate him from slavery under the Romans. No, He wasn't. No, He wasn't. Now, that's a shocker for them, and it's a shocker for many people. Now, here's what we need to remember. Does God have the might and the power to cast off slavery throughout the world, to rid the world of evil rulers? Absolutely, He does. But you got to remember, people will ask you a question a lot of times if you get into a Bible study. People will say, well, why did this whole thing happen? Why this whole thing on earth? Why this? You know, the question is, why is this going on? Why earth? Why us? Okay, now here's the answer that's probably the best you can give to anybody. God, there was something called rebellion in heaven. That's what the Scripture says, right? Now, God could have fixed it through might, couldn't He? He could have squashed the rebellion like that. We know He could have. But what did God do? We're going to see later on in Ephesians 6. Really, this whole thing, brethren, came down to rebellion in heaven. And what we do is proven to those rulers and authorities in heavenly places, that darkness, that what God is doing through His plan, He did because it's right. It's not might. So this is what it all comes down to. That's the answer. Why did God do this? Because God's going to prove what His plan is right. And He's not going to do it by might. He said, not by might, but my Spirit. Didn't He? That's what He said. So what He did is He raised up a bunch of people. You know, kind of like David and I and others. Raised us up, made us new creations, stuck His Spirit in us. And He says, okay, now I'm going to show you what your task is, and then you're going to show the world that I'm right. So He builds these relationships individually, the building blocks of relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, slaves and masters, employer-employee for the sake of most of us. And this is a real deal. This is at the level where God says, by the way, I am equipping you for the work of service. And this is part of that, brethren. So don't race over this part and go, yeah, I know about that. Okay? Stop and think about it. You are being equipped through this information for the work of service. And you need to view it that way. Now, the first thing that we need to look at, he says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Okay, now, when it gets difficult, you know, you can take that first section and say, I need to be obedient. But just go right to the end of that verse as it says, as to Christ. See, that's really the key to this whole passage. Everything that's being done is being done for Christ, isn't it? It's really what it's all about. Doing it for Christ. Now, we are called to be obedient. And that includes even, let's say, some tough masters, right? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Or I'm sorry, let's make it 1 Peter to start. Now I know some of us, I can't speak for all you. I've been an employer most of my life. Briefly was a partner with a gentleman in a business and was self-employed, quote unquote. Okay? But most of the time I've had flesh masters in the flesh called employers. You know, boss, GM, whatever. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, same word as we see where it's translated slaves. There's doulos and diakonos and all this. Okay, basically the same concepts being communicated. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. I was talking with Peach before we came in for assembly tonight, and he was telling me about this week. His boss kind of sprung a little surprise on him on Tuesday night as he's getting ready to leave. He figured, well, we're going to get the fourth off, probably be back to work Thursday. His boss said, then why don't you boys just go ahead, take the rest of the week off, the work week. He says, I'll watch the plant. Pretty good boss. You suppose it'd be easy for Peach to obey that guy? I think so. Should be. Better be. You better not be going, well, what about Monday? You know, I mean, you better be saying, wow, I'd love to hear that. Wouldn't you? I've had bosses that have said things like that to me. And, you know, that's great. But what about the boss that says, you know, and I was in retail, and my boss was a general manager and owner and customers. Okay? And he says, no holiday for you. You work on July 4th. Right, Mike? We did a few of those together. I don't know if Wayne did with us, but I know you worked at the same place with us for a while. But you work. Oh, come on. It's July 4th. It's Independence Day. Can I at least be independent from work for that day? Nope. Got to work. That can cause a little attitudinal issue. It can. When everybody's out having fun and you're working. Yeah? So, slaves, you need to be obedient. We obey. We hear and we put ourselves under that. That's literally what the compound Greek word means. Obey your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you go into work and go, you know. It's basically communicating respect, honor, humility. Okay, I hope you're not going into work going, you know, that's not good. You shouldn't as a Christian. But you should understand who you are, what you're doing in that job, because who you're really working for. Jesus. So fear and trembling. Lord, am I pleasing you? The proper perspective. Everything has to do with the mindset, doesn't it? In the sincerity of your heart. That means in the singleness. That word is a Greek word that means you take things and you fold them together and you make it a single unit. So you have a singleness, a singleness of mind, a singleness of heart of what you're doing there. It's translated sincerity of your heart. It's singleness. What's your single purpose? Serving Christ. In case you forgot, just go back a little bit. Ephesians 5. Okay. What are we doing here? In verse 10, it says, I do not like this New American Standard translation. A better translation of verse 10 would say, proving, not learning, to trying to learn. That just doesn't work. The more literal Greek there is, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. That's really what we're doing, aren't we? We're proving what's pleasing to the Lord. It's what we're doing. With your masters in the flesh. Sincerity, no fakey-fakey stuff. Okay? Now it says in verse 6, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. That's not heart, that's actually from the soul. You got heart earlier, but now it's from the soul. It's talking about the inner man in both cases. You're doing it from within for a reason, a purpose. Now, not with eye service. You guys ever been around anybody you worked with? When the boss was around, boy, they couldn't be busy enough just putting on the show, right? As soon as the boss left, slink over into his corner and disappear, right? Somebody said, the boss is coming, race over, be all busy. Hi, boss. How you doing, boss? Where are you? I'm boss. We're getting on the corner. What are you, boss? You know, he's a men pleaser. All about trying to curry favor with the boss. He's a bootlicker. You know, there's other names that the world has for guys like that, which we won't mention. All right? But here you are, Steady Eddie, God's, you know, worker, God's servant in the workplace. And no matter what's going on, you're doing your job. Whether someone's present around you or not. And usually you know you're doing the right thing when they come up to you at some point and they say, would you slow it down? You're making the rest of us look bad. Oh, okay. Well, I work for the big boss, you know, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know. Come on, let's have a contest. You know? See if you can catch up with me. You know, and then, of course, the name calling starts. But again, that's what happens with men pleasers and those that are trying to curry favor, right? So, and looking to eye service, you know, put out a good show when the boss is around, but not so good when he's not. And we have all worked with people like that. We know that, haven't we? That shouldn't be a Christian's attitude, should it? Should not be. No. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men. Again, so who are you really working for when it gets tough? The Lord. You know, there are people that will say to you, how can you always come in with a good mood, in a good mood? Or how can you always project a good attitude? Or how can you, you know, you wait for people to ask you that question, right? Do you? How come you're always in a good mood? Well, you know, you got a 401k, right? Retirement plan? They go, yeah. Well, I got a retirement plan that's out of this world, right? So I know what's going to happen when my retirement day comes. Right? I mean, you can say funny, well, what do you mean out of this world? What are you doing? You're throwing something out to get, are you interested? Are you really seeing if I'm interested in what I'm, why? I make it a point every day when I go into work. Now, my job is not what I envisioned when I was a young person, when I grew up, you know, that I would be working a lot in restrooms. You know, I didn't see myself in that role when I was younger. I had grandioser dreams, you know. Maybe a rock and roll star, if I couldn't cut it there. Maybe a sports athlete or a coach or, you know, whatever. I never got either direction there. But I'm very grateful where I am today. You know, I'm God's son. There's no better role to play in the world or position, occupation to have than God's son or God's daughter. See, that's your occupation, brethren. What you do in the world to put bread on the table, that's your vocation. That's the difference. Your occupation is saint of God. And I'm out here to do what I can to please God and work in a manner that will be pleasing to Him. And I'm willing to obey the masters that are unworthy, let's just say it, tough masters, because I'm really submitting myself to Christ. So I can have an attitudinal change in work. Now, not every day do I get up and get out of bed and go, yes! I get to go into work! Yeah! I got to admit, I don't. Yeah, Tigger sometimes needs a boot. Eeyore gets out of bed and Tigger's got to kind of go, hoo, 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 get him going, right? So, but by the time I get to work, I remember. I remember who I am. And so when I hit work, I go through, I know for a fact, brethren, that there are people that are looking forward to seeing me come through the plant. Because I go to every person I can. And this is something you should do. Verse 9 would address this to like masters. This is a good manager. I go to all these people, say good morning to them, talk to them for a few seconds, tell them how much I appreciate what they do for me personally. Even if they don't think that they're doing anything for me personally. I'll give them a little tidbit of what they did that might have helped me with something. I'm basically a sales guy, for lack of a better term. Okay? And those people like that. See, you're in there encouraging them. How can you not encourage them when you've got everything? It's all a matter of perspective. With, you know, it says here, with goodwill render service as to the Lord, not to men. With goodwill. With a good mind is actually what that word is. It's the word eus, E-U-S in Greek, and it's the word for mind, N-O-U-S, nous. It's a good mind. It's with a proper mindset. You're rendering service, not just to your master, but to all those people that are there. Now, brethren, I say this not to elevate me. I say this to help you to understand. You can do this, and I guarantee you, people will look forward to seeing you. Now, what is that going to lead to? All right. That says here, with goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. All right. Those of you that are in this assembly that have worked with me, raise your hand. What's your workplace, brethren? It's called the ministry field. Now, virtually all these guys I never went to and pounded on, beat on them individually. Didn't do that. It was my example, and it was my willingness to be around them. 5 years it took till we got Mike to actually, and a series of events in his life personally, to where he was ready to hear this thing. But I would do things with Mike, even though I cared about him, even though I knew at times Mike thought I was a little kooky. But what was I doing? I was rendering service to my master, but I was rendering service to my fellow employees too. And I was looking at them and showing them they're valuable to me. And I would exhibit behavior I know was different than what they were used to. Purposely I did that. It should have been naturally, and it was for me. It should be for you, brethren. When you do the right things in the workplace, you'll be recognized. You know, we've got several examples in the Old Testament of guys that got into situations because of bad circumstances. Think of two right off the bat. How about Joseph? What was Joseph's attitude? Falsely accused, basically, of trying to rape his boss's wife. Goes into prison and started to mope, didn't he? Nope. Got to work, remember saying, I know who I am. I remember those dreams that I had, and I know that at some point God's going to deliver me from this. I know that I'm going to get this reward for every good thing that I do. So I'm just going to keep doing who I am, and I know it'll work out. Sure enough, ultimately he gets exalted into the presence of Pharaoh, becomes number two in the entire land in a position as an administrator, government administrator. And he executed his position pretty darn well for Pharaoh. And God speaks glowingly of him doing his job well for Pharaoh, a Gentile. But he was put there in not so good circumstances. What about Daniel? How'd Daniel do? Young man stripped from his family, hauled away to a foreign land. Goes and put into jail, then he only gets to eat vegetables. Now, he might have. I know he did, but this is for dramatic effect. Right? Yes, he chose vegetables, but I would like to think that Daniel would like to have had a hunk of meat. I don't know. But what did Daniel do? He proved himself. He trusted God. He executed his purpose. He knew who he was. His service to two different kings is spoken glowingly in the book of Daniel. He was a slave. Joseph was a slave. And they rose to prominence. You know, it's no mistaking that Clint had Brother David take a look at that passage out of 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, fellow servants. He will exalt you at the proper time. That doesn't mean he's going to give you a managerial job. It means at the proper time you'll be in the right place so that he can be glorified. That's what workplace environment's all about. It's who you are, what you do in the workplace. Speaks volumes to people. You know, you can listen to what is hot buttons. I know what Wayne's hot button was within 2 weeks of working with him. And I deliberately set out to give him more information and talk to him about those issues. And sure enough, Wayne wanted to study at some point. Okay? Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, did you know you can change somebody's whole perspective on work? Did you know that? A parallel passage in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 22, says, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart. The boss knows you're really doing it from the right place. You know what I mean? He just knows. This guy does it for the right reasons. I never have to judge his motives. They're always pure. Sounds vaguely familiar. Okay? Then he says, with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? I got permission earlier. I didn't see. Did you raise your hand, Terry? Okay. I worked with Terry at Collins Furniture before I went to Hart's Furniture. Hart's is out of business, so if you need furniture, go to Collins. Okay, so there's your plug, Terry. Anyway, I worked there and for a year or so, and I've told this story before, and some of you guys have heard it. But Terry, when I first got to work there, there was a young lady that ran the weekends, did Terry's job on the weekend. She was kind of the one who, for eye service, Okay, she was an attractive young lady, and she'd be out of the office standing out talking to the salespeople a lot during the weekend when she probably should have been in there doing her job. Terry would come in on Monday mornings, find this mess she'd have to clean up, all this work, and I can tell you it frustrated Terry greatly. Greatly. Well, after a year talking with her, watching with her, trying to encourage her, I think I did some things right. One day she comes up to me, and again, this isn't a boast. I don't want you guys to take this wrong when I tell the story. This is your story. This is your story. She comes up and says, okay, you're the real deal. I want what you got. After Terry studied and she became a Christian, and Terry wasn't real excited about coming to work. Would you say that was true, Terry? You know what? One of the first passages Terry put up on her monitor just, man, warmed my heart like you'll never understand. She put up on her monitor, after we studied, she became a Christian, she started to understand new creation principles. Boom! Up goes Colossians 3:23. Terry was not one that really liked her job real well, and she's got that deal up there, and Terry's attitude changes, and people in the workplace notice it. Now, there's a young lady in the back there, named, well, Melinda Nagel. She is the daughter of Pam Derry, who's sitting back there. They're from Ohio. Melinda was out here. She meets Jason through, I believe, church-related stuff. Am I right, Melinda? Okay. They have a little girl named Viola. You want to know how Melinda became Mrs. Nagel and how Viola became Viola? Right over here. This gal right here started to talk to Jason Nagel. You guys know Jason Nagel, many of you, don't you? Isn't Jason a great guy? Right there. That's my grandson through my daughter. Jason Nagel. And now I've got a granddaughter-in-law and a great-granddaughter, I hope. See how this works? Is this awesome? Just from work. Just from work. You don't think you're not important in work? Let me see. David, where do you work again? A to Z Dyer. Super Dave, where do you work? Well, how did you get here? Oh! Should I go through the assembly and see how many of these? I mean, we could do it, couldn't we? We could do it. Because of Mike's work experience and his conversation with the gal that massaged backs and stuff, he got a young couple into the assembly. Unfortunately, the young lady isn't assembling much with us lately, but the fella is. Work-related stuff. There was a guy named Ray Zuko sat in this assembly for many, many months. A year or two, Wayne. Where Wayne worked. Wayne, conversation with Ray. Ray assembles with the saints. You want to know where your ministry field is, you're there 8 hours a day. And you don't have to go, did you know that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're going to hell? You don't have to do it that way. You zip your lip, you present the image of Christ to people, and they come to you. I didn't drag any of one of these to a Bible study. Not a one. Not a one. I just did what Christ told me to do in the workplace. And that's how valuable your example is. That's why the Scripture says, keep your example excellent among the Gentiles. Because the harvest is increased when you do that. And that's the way you need to see this, brethren. Honestly. Now, we're slaves. I want to remind you of one thing you did, which maybe you don't remember, when you became a Christian. But if you will turn in your Bibles to Exodus 21... Well, hold on. Let's go to Deuteronomy 15. I'm going to try and move towards a close on this. Thank you for your patience. I wanted to help you guys with an object lesson, see the value of your workplace. And I can tell you, I've talked to Kyle. Kyle's talked to people where he worked. Jared's had conversation with people he worked. How many of you know Greg? Greg Gross. I know he comes. Some of you may not know him. That's Jared in his workplace. Am I right, Jared? Brethren, the majority of where you may have opportunity to get disciples, believe it or not, is your workplace. Depending on what you do for a job. Okay? Especially if you have close interaction daily with the same group of people. All right? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. Okay? Verse 12. If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years. But in the seventh year you shall set him free. Even if somebody sold themselves to you, that's called indentured servant. By the way, they did that when they came over on the ships to America early on. Okay, I know that people like me, Mr. Hopper, the Loves, they would understand. They taught that kind of stuff back when we were growing up. And don't equate me in the same generation. No, I'm just kidding. But I know that, remember when they taught us about indentured servanthood? It was either 7 or 14 years. 7 years free, right? Now check this out. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, you ever know anybody been sent out from being a slave here? Take a bunch of money. No, you don't hear about that. Now, here's what I really want. This is what you did. This is a prefigure in the Old Testament of what you did when you became a Christian. Pay attention. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Let's just call that the land of sin. Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day, it shall come about if he says to you, I will not go out from you. Because he loves you and your household, since he fares well with you, then you shall take an awl. Unless you know what an awl is. You punch through leather. Okay? And pierce it through his ear into the door. You take him out to your door. You pierce it through his ear. Okay? And he shall be your servant forever. And you shall do likewise to your maid servant. Did you notice that? Even the gals had an opportunity. That's what you did when you became a Christian. Spiritually, you said to the Lord, I don't want to leave your house. I want to serve you as a bond slave, as Paul would say in the New Testament. And so you stood and had your ear pierced. Went through. You made a lifetime commitment because you knew the Lord loved you. So you're a slave. You're a bond slave. You're a servant. That's who you are in Christ. Now you can take your example at work and you can remember who you are, brethren. Do you know who Jesus is? He's your Lord, isn't he? He's King of Kings, isn't he? You can take that, understand who Jesus is, understand who you are in Christ, right? I worked on that for a few years with you guys. And know your purpose. What's your purpose? Seek and save the lost. You work hard for your boss, right? There's going to be guys that are slackers, not going to like you, guaranteed. You're not working for them. You're not working to be drugged down by them. What did David say was a lesson this week? They want to drag you back down with them. Don't go down. Rise above it, right? You work for the Lord. You're his slave. So, work. Here's a little acronym for you guys. See if this will help. Work. Can everybody see that? Can everybody see this? And please no comments on my Chinese chicken scratch. Okay? Work. Obey. We don't go against what the Lord says, but we obey our masters where there's no conflict. Amen? Okay? Reward. Why? We work for the King. Got that? That's what you do. You work, you obey, there's a reward because you're working for the King of Kings. You know what he promised us. So look at your work properly, brother. It is one of those relationships that God says is extremely important. And someday, if you are in slavery, actual abject slavery, remember the first century church did it. You can too. Because you are working to obey, really the Lord ultimately, with a reward in mind, and it's coming from the King of Kings who has set you free. They may capture and hold your physical body in service, but you serve the Lord from your heart and your soul, right? That's what you are. It's who you are. Know your purpose. Let's stand.